Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. And while you're turning there, I believe that there has been a consistent flow of a clear sound from God, a clear word for this church. And I don't say this out of obligation. I say this as a response to what I believe the Lord is speaking in my spirit. I believe that not because we are here. I say this humbly. I understand the role of the office of the evangelist, but I also understand the nature of God, and there are things that go beyond the preacher in the pulpit. We count ourselves not special, but I believe that from this revival, there are seeds that are planted. And I believe that this church should not be surprised that there will be an after effect of this revival. That in the next few weeks, the next few months, that there'll be a cataclysmic shift. And there'll be an outpouring in this church that you've never seen before. Come on, I wish two or three saints would just link up with that right there. Come on, anybody believe that this is a new season? Come on, anybody believe that this is a new season? Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I want to do my best to obey His Spirit tonight. Ecclesiastes 3:1, when you have it, shout amen. Amen. The Bible declares to everything there is a season. Somebody shout season. To everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there is a season. Somebody shout season. In Genesis 1:14, for your consideration, God began to orchestrate life. He began to move His Spirit upon the helms of nothingness. And God, when He began to speak, things began to happen. Anybody thankful that God can still speak and things happen? When God began to speak, things began to happen. And there was a unique institution of God's Spirit when He began to speak into darkness. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. And God did not put those lights there on accident. He said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs. Everybody say signs. And for seasons. Everybody say seasons. And for days. Shout days. And for years. Shout years. Let them be for seasons. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to declare a spirit in this house to help this church. I believe that this word will be a perpetual word of strength, encouragement, and uplifting to the body of Christ from this day forward. And I want to let you know that seasons are necessary. Seasons are necessary. Can we connect with the Holy Ghost right now? And we lift up our voice and begin to pray that God would give us strength from this day forward. That this revival would be perpetual. That this spirit, come on, lift up your voice in the house. Come on, God's doing something in the sanctuary. God's doing something in this church. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, anybody know how to pray and connect with God? I want you to pray and ask God to help us tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that your spirit, God, will linger in this sanctuary. God, that you would touch your people, that you would give us strength, Lord, that you would propel, God, the body of people to go forward in spirit. God, that you would grow in us, that you would mature in us, God, that you would continue, Lord, to pull your people to higher heights, God, at deeper depths. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in the room right now. Come on, put it on the line. Come on, one last service. And say, God, speak to my spirit. God, speak to my family. God, speak to the church. Amen. Somebody turn to your neighbor and shout seasons. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and shout seasons. Seasons are necessary. Clap your hands one more time unto the Lord. Clap your hands. Lift up your voice. Come on, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Come on, I feel a shifting of house. Come on, I feel a shifting in the atmosphere. I feel something stirring in the spirit. Come on, something's happening right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, the fear of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated tonight in Jesus' name. I want to take my time and deliver a spirit into this body, this congregation, from the thought that stemmed from the mind of God concerning seasons. Somebody shout seasons. Everything that God does, everything that God is, everything that God always will be, is wrapped up in one word, and that is purpose. Somebody shout purpose. God does not do things on accident. Everything that God does is in his hand. It is in his control. It is in his plan. And one thing that I've learned from the onset of God's spirit being introduced to everything that lives is that from the origins of life itself, the universe specifically, God began to do things from the beginning of time that I believe were so purposeful that our human mind could not even properly understand and extrapolate some small glimpse of wisdom of just how far God's wisdom can go and how powerful his nature is. When God said, let there be, there was so much intertwined in that it would take eons and all of human life's history to even unpack what that meant. But the Bible declares in Ecclesiastes that to everything there is a season, and there's a time to every purpose under the heaven. Somebody shout everything. To everything there is a season. And one thing you must know about seasons, that seasons have a way of changing. They have a way of shifting, which means that no one season is infinite. That no one season is permanent. Well, I wish somebody would just let that seep in your spirit right now. Which means that when there are seasons that you are not comfortable with, just hang on a little bit. When there are seasons that you don't understand, just buckle down for the ride and know that seasons are changing and they are not permanent. I wish two or three people would just let that get a hold of your spirit right now. When there are seasons you don't understand, when there are seasons you don't know what's going on, just know that God knows and God is in control and seasons are necessary. God, come on, somebody clap your hands if you know that God is in control. God has not forgot. God is not asleep. God is not unaware. God hears and he knows. But it is difficult for us, and I want to help the church. I want to help somebody in the room right now. it is difficult for us to understand the purpose of seasons, because when you're in seasons, you don't understand how long the season will be or when the season will change. But I've come to tell you that your purpose in life is not understanding the season. Your purpose is in understanding God. I'm going to say it again for somebody in the room. Your purpose is not to understand where you are. It's understanding who He is. And when you know who God is, you'll be content in saying, God, I don't understand the valley, but I know I can't always stay here. I don't understand the darkness, but it can't always be night. I wish somebody would hear the preacher right now. How do I know this? God said, He said, let there be times and let there be a firmament in the heaven to divide the day from the night. He said, let them be for signs and seasons and days and years. God said, there's always going to be a changing. There's always going to be a shifting. And you might not know it when it is, but long as you know that I'm God and I know when the times are, He said, there's always going to be a day to look forward to. I wish somebody would hear that right now in the house. He said, I want you to understand, I'm dividing the day from the night, which means that when there's darkness, there has to be a day of light. He said, when there's a day of night, there's always going to be the sun that follows the moon. I've come to tell somebody, I feel like something's happening. I feel like something's shifting. I feel like something. Hey, I've just come to tell you, I don't know when it is, but I've come to tell somebody, seasons are changing, seasons are changing, seasons are... Come on, somebody feel, let the Holy Ghost talk to you right now. But don't get excited just... Because although seasons of life are subject to change, you must also know and understand the purpose and why seasons exist. And there is a principle I want to deliver tonight and let you know that every season you go in life, every season you walk in life, every season that you find your family, your children, your home, your world, every aspect of life is necessary. And I want you to understand what that means tonight, because there are some people that they live in a pixie dust fairy tale world of imagination. That they believe that living for God is a perfect life every day. That is not the case. I wish I had two or three saints that know what I'm talking about. When you live for God, it's no different than when you live life without God, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Every man is subject to the calamity, the catastrophes, the perils, the turmoils, the temptations and the troubles of life. And I just want to tell you that when you live life, seasons are necessary. For God said, He said, as long as the earth remaineth, Genesis 8 and 22, He said, as long as the earth remaineth, He said, there's always going to be seed time and harvest. He said, there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. You can't always plant, but you can't always harvest. Well, somebody needs to hear that right now. Hey, you can't always be a giver, but you can't always be a taker. Sometimes you got to open your hands, and sometimes you got to receive. Sometimes you got to give. Sometimes you have to cry so you will know what it feels like to smile. Sometimes you have to be sick so you will know what healing feels like. Sometimes you have to have trouble so you will know that there's a God that can pull. God, I wish you would hear me in the room. How would you know what it feels like to be touched by God if you never had infirmity? You can't always have the mountain. Sometimes you have to learn to live in the valley. I wish somebody would hear me right now. But know that when you have times in your life that you don't understand, know that the seasons are going to change. But you must learn to live in the season that you're in. I wish somebody would hear the Holy Ghost right now. He said there's always going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be cold and heat. There's going to be summer and winter. And these times shall not cease. He said seasons are going to always be necessary. I want to help somebody out right now because we live in a time right now in the world that everybody is latching on to the wagon of negativity. Listen, I want to be kind tonight and tell you that I don't focus on the negativity that's going on in the world. In fact, I don't want to be insensitive and sounding like this, but I can care less because even when the world is going down in decadence and it's crumbling and it's dark, I know the God who created seasons. And I know that even in the darkest of times, I know the God that said, let there be. I wish somebody would hear me right now. I can talk about things that are inflating and things that are hard and things that are rough, but can I talk about God? And as long as God is God, I just come to tell you, I'm going to make it in every season. I'm going to flourish in every season. I'm going to grow in every season. I'm going to be strong in every season. In every season, I have God. In every day, I have God. There's days and nights. There's cold and heat. There is God. Oh, you ought to clap your hands and thank God. When it's dark, there's a God. When it's cold, there's a God. When it's dry, there's a God. I'm not worried about the drought. I know the God who created rain. I'm not worried about the darkness. I know the God that created light. Oh, I wish you would hear me in the house. I don't care about tears. I know the God that his hands can wipe away every tear from my eye. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but the sun's coming out tomorrow. You ain't hear me right now. I say, I know you're crying tears right now, but the sun has to come out at some point. You ought to turn to your neighbor and say, the sun's coming out tomorrow. Hey, ready or not, the sun's coming out tomorrow. I don't care how long you've been in your troubles and how long the night has been long. I just come to tell you, the moon can't stay out forever. Well, I thought I would have had more people with some encouragement in their spirit. I come to tell the church, I'll tell you why I know revival's in the land. Because revival can't be in the land forever. Revival has to come. The harvest time has to come. The heart. Something got in my spirit when I listened to your devotional this week, because there is an impossibility at play when you understand that there's no chance that you can't keep planting seeds and planting seeds and planting seeds and nothing grows. I don't think you're hearing me right now. You can't keep showing up to prayer and being faithful with God and doing all you can as a church, and all of a sudden the light switch doesn't get flipped on at some point, and God starts rewarding your prayers. He starts responding to your effort, and the season starts to... I don't know who I'm preaching to. I've come to tell you, those seeds are about to sprout. I've come to tell you, the rain that's raining is growing your... I'm not complaining about the rain. I got seeds in the ground. I'm not complaining about the water. The seasons are necessary. The problem problem is that people don't understand that when you are content with God, when you are content with God is when you find a place of peace. I feel the Holy Ghost right now, because there's too many people that their discontentment is going to be their destruction, because they don't understand that God has them right where he wants them in this time. But when God says go, you better respond. When God says move, when the cloud moves, the season's moving. When the cloud moves, the time is moving. You can't see the sun until the cloud moves. He said, my people, when the cloud moves, you'll see the sun. You got to understand that your movement is not always from place to place. Hear me right now. Your movement is not always from place to place. Sometimes you have to move and operate right where God has you. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody needs to hear that right now. I know exactly who I'm talking to. Sometimes you get to a point that you are discontent with your placement. But God said, I want you to operate and I want you to move right here, because your consistency and where you are is going to determine your maturity and who you will be. I know what I just said doesn't make sense, but I'm going to help you out. When God created the earth, he fashioned it. He orchestrated it with a design purpose that was intentionalized, that the earth would go through stages of seasons. Somebody shout seasons. And these seasons were a response to the earth's position. Because when God created the earth, he said, I'm going to put the earth in orbit within the universe, and I'm going to cause the earth to revolve in orbit around the sun. But the orbit of the earth around the sun is so particular. We serve a God that's so particular about what he wants you to do and where he wants you to be and how he wants you to walk and how he wants you to live. Said, I want the earth to be on a specific tilt of 23.5 degrees on its axis. And he said, not only that, I want the earth to spin 1,000 miles per hour while it's tilted on its axis. And while it's spinning 1,000 miles per hour, he said, That speed is going to take a full day. It's going to take 24 hours and 56 minutes. 23 hours and 56 minutes. This is where we get a 24-hour day. It takes the earth 23 hours and 56 minutes, spinning out at 1,000 miles per hour at 23.5 degrees angular tilt. And you said, what in the world is that for? I'm glad you asked. God said, let it be for days and let it be for nights. And you don't understand what that means, but I've come to tell you that when you feel like your world is off balance and you don't understand why it feels like everything is spinning out of control, I just want to tell somebody in the room, you're spinning in control because God is controlling the spinning. You ain't hear me right now. When you trying to figure out what in the world is going on, God said, be still and know I'm God. I've got everything in control. I've got a purpose in your days. I've got a purpose in your nights. I know exactly what I'm doing. Hey, you say, God, what are you doing? He said, don't worry about it. Seasons are necessary. God, where I'm going, don't worry about it. Seasons are. And then he said, not only that, he said, but while it's tilted on his axis, and while it makes that full day's orbit, he said, I'm going to also cause a constant motion so that it would orbit around the sun. He said that orbit around the sun is going to be a complete orbit. It's going to be a beautiful, a beautiful, beautiful cycle of life. So that as the sun is moving in a constant state of being, the earth is moving in a constant state of motion, so that there are times in life that the earth is closer to the sun, that's the heating season, and the earth is further away from the sun, that's the cooling season. But he said the cold and the heat, they're necessary. Hey, he said, I don't want you to get to a point that you're too close to the world because you're going to burn up. He said, but I don't want you to be too far from me because you're going to lose out with God. God saying, I want you to be right where I want you to be. He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw now to you. I've got to be close to God in every season. I've got to be close to God. And so he caused the earth to go around in its orbit around the sun, and it takes 365 days, 59 minutes, 5 hours, and 16 seconds. Somebody say, wow. Yeah, that's what I was going for. But in that time, the earth is subject to winter, spring, summer, fall. And all of that is for the maturation of everything that's on the earth, including you. You don't understand the rain, but I'm telling you, nothing's going to grow if no rain comes in your life. Anybody hearing the preacher right now? You don't understand the scorching heat, but those seeds can't get the proper introduction of the rays of the sun that creates the molecular structure to change and photosynthesis to be an actor. Can I tell you that you will never grow unless you stay in the season as long as God wants you to be in the season? How long is too long? I don't know. How long is too long? I don't know. But I know that God has everything in his control. God has everything in his control. But there is a deeper principle. I'm almost done preaching. There's a deeper principle I want to preach from tonight, because I really feel this in the Holy Ghost, that this church is in a unique season, is in a changing of the guard, a shifting of the tide, a moving of the Spirit that's on the brink of something happening in this church. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Anybody believe that? Anybody believe that? And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what it is. I begin to pray and I begin to seek God for this last night. And there is something clear about the spirit of this church that I want to tap into right now. There's something clear about the seasons of this church and what has transpired from the days of the elder to the days of now. And God doesn't count days and years and times and months like we do, because he lives in eternity, which means that there can be 30 years of a time frame, but that can seem like one day to God, which means that things that have been in this church, things that have been instituted in this church, programs and people and investments in people and things that are happening, I feel it in the Holy Ghost, that can be like one day to God. And God said it can be one day that everything shifts, that everything that has been planted, it can be one day that sprouts begin to bud up out of nowhere. I've come to tell you, there's going to be times of seed planting and there's going to be a time of harvest. I've come to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, I don't know what it is about the season, but there's a harvest that's in the land. We're living in the time of harvest. We're living in... I wish anybody that believed that would clap your hands and worship God. There is a time and a season. And there's a voice. There's a voice of the day and of the age that if you keep digesting negativity, you will miss what I'm about to say. Hear me right now. Don't give glory to the devil. Don't give glory to the day. Because I don't care how dark it is in Egypt, there's still light in Goshen. Hey, I don't care if everybody's being laid off. I serve a God that he's got me hunkered down right where he wants me. And he's going to take care of his people in every season. He's going to keep his people in every season. Don't fret about tonight because there is tomorrow. I got to hurry. Here it is. Oh, God help me tonight. There's something about this church that I believe that even in this hour where people are falling away from God, I believe that this church is about to be an open door of people running to God like you've never seen. There's going to be people coming here. You don't know where they came from. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. There's going to be things happening in this church. I can see a wheelchair coming down the aisle right now and somebody getting up out of that wheelchair, not because of me, not because of the preacher, not because, it's because of the season. That's something you must understand about seasons. I'm going quickly. Genesis 41 and 1 begins to unfold a story, a beautiful story that I believe the people of God need to glean some hope from. The Bible declares and begins to recall the story of the land of Egypt, which was in a great time of despair and darkness. I want you to read that for me if you can.
And it came to pass,
yeah,
at the end of 2 full years.
Yes.
That Pharaoh dreamed.
Yes.
And behold, he stood by the river.
Pharaoh, the leader of the land, had a dream and that he stood by the river. Keep reading.
And behold, there came up out of the river seven.
Yes.
Well-favored kind and fat flesh.
Everybody say kind.
Kind.
He said there came up out of the river seven fat kind, which is translated as cow. Everybody say cow.
Cow.
Keep going.
And they fed in a meadow.
Yes.
And behold, seven other kind came up after them out of the water.
Everybody say cow.
Cow.
Keep going.
Ill-favored and lean flesh.
Yes.
And stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river.
He said there came seven fat cows and it came out seven skinny cows. Keep reading.
And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kind.
They did what?
Ate them up.
Yes, they ate them up. Somebody said, that sounds like a nightmare to me. The skinny cows ate the fat cows. I'm a country boy from Louisiana. If you ever see a cow eating a cow, you better run.
Mad cow.
Or shoot it.
Mad cow disease.
Mad cow disease. But this is the dream of the Pharaoh. Keep going.
So Pharaoh awoke.
That terrified him. He woke up out of his sleep like, what in the world was that? So he tried to go back to sleep. Keep reading. Let's go a little faster. I gotta get going.
And he slept and dreamed the second time.
Yes.
And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk.
He fell back to sleep and dreamed the dream again, and this time there were 7 ears of corn. Everybody say corn.
Corn. Rank and good.
Yes.
And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them.
Yes.
And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream.
Now, Pharaoh's really messed up at this point because cows are eating cows and corn is eating corn. Like, what in the world is that? I mean, wouldn't you be like, what? What did I eat last night? That piece was really getting to me. Indigestion all night long. Pharaoh's troubled by this dream. He's trying to figure out, what does this mean? Keep going.
You want verse 25?
Verse 8.
Verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit troubled.
Yes.
And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt.
Yeah.
And all the wise men thereof.
Yes.
And Pharaoh told them his dream.
Yes.
But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh.
Pharaoh's trying to figure out, what does this dream mean? What is going on? I don't understand what this means. Anybody want to know what it means?
Yes.
So we go to verse 25 and we find out what was happening with these cows and this corn. Keep going. 25.
And Joseph said unto Pharaoh.
So Joseph is called in to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, and he began to tell him and declare what was happening in these dreams. Hear me. Keep going.
The dream of Pharaoh is one.
He said, Pharaoh, I want you to understand, these dreams that you have been given came from God, and these were two different dreams. He said, but they have the same meaning. He said, the dream is one. Remember I said that God works in the second degree of confirmation. He said, I gave you two dreams because the thing that you have seen shall surely come to pass. Can I just come to tell somebody in the room that seasons are going to change, and it ain't nothing you can do to stop it.
Verily, verily.
I wish somebody would hear me right now. You can talk about the trouble, but I think that God has got a moving of his spirit on the way, and it ain't nothing you can do to stop it. You can talk about your tears, but joy is coming in the morning, and you can't stop. I come to tell somebody, seasons are changing. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Keep going.
God has showed Pharaoh,
yes,
what he is about to do.
He said, God is showing Pharaoh what he's about to do. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm telling you, God's about to do something in this church that you've never seen before. I've come to tell the elders of the church, get ready. You ain't seen nothing yet. I ain't talking about the days of old, and I'm not diminishing revival of yesterday, but something's about to happen. I said something's about to happen. I said something. I wish you would stand on your feet if you believe that. I said something is about to. Keep reading.
Verse 26. Yeah. The seven good kind are 7 years.
He said, This is what God is declaring. I gotta move quickly.
And the seven good years, yes, are 7 years.
He said, the seven, everybody say seven.
Seven.
He said, the seven that you're seeing is a representation of years. Everybody say years.
Years.
He said, signs, season, days, and what?
Years.
He said, they're for years. He said, that is what that means. He said, they represent years. Keep going.
The dream is one.
He said, the dream is one. Keep reading.
And the seven thin and ill-favored kind came up after them,
yes,
are 7 years.
He said, the seven fat cows, 7 skinny cows, 7 rank ears of corn, the 7 well-favored, they all represent 7 years. Everybody shout years.
Years.
But what does the rank and thin ears mean? Keep reading. Read that for me. Verse 27.
And the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind, yeah, shall be 7 years of famine.
He said, the 7 fat years are the 7 good years. And the 7 rank years and ill-favored years are the years of famine. Now, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to the world right now, but I think that we are there.
Yes.
Anybody could nod your head and say, I think we're there. I think the good years have gone by and we are in the rough times. Anybody can nod your head and agree to that?
Amen.
But God institutionalized purpose under the heaven. And God understands that his people would never ever be caught off guard if you understand the purpose of seasons. I feel the Holy Ghost about to move in this sanctuary.
Hallelujah.
Keep reading.
Verse 28.
Yeah.
This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh.
He said, Pharaoh, you can't stop this. Keep going.
What God is about to do,
yes,
he showeth unto Pharaoh.
He said, God's trying to give you a heads up because the seasons are going to change. I'm going to say it again. The seasons are going to change. But you have to have a heads up so you will be ready for the change. Keep going. Here it is.
Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt.
That things are going to be so good, so plenteous. God's going to be pouring out his blessings. Everything's going to be great.
Even in Egypt.
And watch this. He said, but.
Verse 30.
Yeah.
And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine.
Yes.
And all the plenty shall be forgotten.
He said, but dark days are coming. Seasons are what? They're changing. And seasons are necessary. He said, don't be fooled to think that things are going to always be good. But don't be fooled to think that they're going to always be bad. Anybody hear the preacher right now? He said, and sometimes things can get so bad that they make you forget when things were good. But please don't forget that God's been good to you. Hey, I come to tell you, I'm not worried about how bad it is right now, because God is still good. I come to tell you, God is still good. I've come to remind you.
Shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt.
Yes.
And the famine shall consume the land.
Yes.
And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following.
But what do we do? What do we do when everything around me seems uncontrollable? Price of gas is skyrocketing. Things are going crazy. Mass, no mass. I don't want to get political. Everything is crazy.
All right.
But God is still God. And I just come to tell you, you can't stop a harvest because seasons are necessary.
Oh, get ready.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I come to tell somebody, get ready. You can't stop it. Get ready.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. Hey, you ought to rejoice right now. Something's about to change. Something's about to shift. He said, preacher, I don't know why you're excited. How do you know this? I'll tell you how I know. Because the wisdom of God predates the wisdom of man. And God prepared you for now before you even got to now. I said, God prepared you for today before you even got to today. What are you talking about, preacher? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Tell me what verse 34 says.
Huh? Verse 34.
Yeah?
Let Pharaoh do this.
He said, Pharaoh, this is how you handle the preparation of the people for the season when things are not going to be good. He said, there's a way that you prepare for where we are now. There's a way that you prepare your family for where you are right now. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to help you out. He said, Pharaoh, there's going to be time that things are going so good in your life. Your blessings are overflowing. You're getting raised after raise, bonus after bonus, promotion after promotion, and you don't know why that God is doing it.
Come out.
But can I tell you why? It's because God knows that seasons are going to change.
Right.
And there has to be a sustaining of the people when things are not going good. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. He said, Pharaoh, this is what you have to do. Hear me right now. This is it.
And let him appoint officers over the land.
He said, this is what you have to do. Keep going.
And take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt.
Somebody say, store up. Come on, say, store up.
Store up.
Say, store up.
Store up.
He said, what you got to do? He said, when the years are good, you have to store up. And you got to take up. You've got to preserve during a time that things are good so that you can make it during a time when things are bad. Well, I don't think you hear me right now. Can I tell somebody in the house right now, you're trying to figure out how in the world are we still making it? How in the world are we still strong? How in the world are we still growing? I'll tell you why. Because there were some years back that the bishop started planning, that the church started investing, that the people of God. The people of God started storing up when things were good. And I just want to tell you, I know that we're going to make it because God says we're going to make it. I wish somebody would hear me right now. There's some prayers you pray
made that God is saying, I'm going to honor them now because you need them now. There's some days you were fasting, and there were some days you were giving, and you don't have it to give now. But God said, I'm going to pull from the storehouse that you have stored up. Oh, I wish somebody would magnify the Lord in the house. Come on, clap your hands and magnify. Hey, I want to tell you, sis, you're going to make it. Just pull down some prayers from yesterday. I just want to tell you, brother, you're going to make it. Just pull from the storehouse of yesterday. Said you need to instill the doctrine of the fifth part. I'm almost done preaching. I need 5 minutes. He said you instill the doctrine of the fifth part. He said you take 20% when you're doing good and you put it aside. You invest it into the kingdom. And so that when the land is dry and withered, you're going to have something to pull from. You ain't hearing me right now. I know you feel like you can't find a prayer and you can't find a tear in your eye, but think about the days when you were under the pew calling on God and you was committed in your consecration and say, God, if I can just get an ounce of strength to make it through the famine, if I can just get an ounce of strength.
Ooh, Jesus. He said the way you make it through seasons is that you pull from the storehouse when you need it. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. I don't care what the devil's telling you, saying you ain't gonna make it. That's a lie, because there's a storehouse. There's a storehouse of prayers that I got stored up in the heavenlies. There's a storehouse of investment. I got some seeds that ain't coming up yet, but I feel something sprouting in the spirit.
Acts 10 and 4, he said, Cornelius, he said, all them days you got on your knees and you were giving much alms to the people and you were giving to the church and you were giving to the church and now you feel like you can't give as much as you can give. I've come to tell somebody, God is about to multiply the increase of this church, that the days that you gave when you didn't have to give it, God's going to honor it. The days that you poured in every bonus, every raise, my God, he said, I'm going to pull from the storehouse so that when you need it the most, there's a surplus of prayers, there's a surplus of giving, there's a surplus of consecration that you can pull from in the famine.
I felt this in the Holy Ghost as we come to the music and stand to our feet. I felt this in the Holy Ghost. I felt this clear as day. I don't know the intricate parts of the building program, and I don't know the details of finances. All I see is a red increase of a thermometer. But can I tell you something about that temperature? It can't always be hot, but it can't always be cold. I just want to tell you, Pastor, don't stop talking about the building. You tell everybody in the city about it. You tell your neighbors about it, and God's going to give increase in the season that you needed the most. You hear me right now? I ain't the smartest man in the world, but that thermometer ain't full yet. Right? I mean, if you can see what I can see. And some of you are saying, I want to give more, but I can't right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want to help the building fund, but things are tight right now. Oh God. I feel something in the Holy Ghost for this church, that because the storehouse is full now, God has to make room in the storehouse.
Malachi 3:10. He said, prove me now therewith. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they might be meat in my house. God's got to make some room and see if I would not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there's not enough room to receive it. I'll tell you what I felt in the Holy Ghost right now. Sometimes your giving doesn't always come back when you think it's coming back. He said, but you bring all the tithes into the storehouse. See, some of you think that when you give to God, you're going to get it tomorrow. Let the whole church say amen. Sometimes you think that you're giving money and you're going to get money. The whole church say amen. Amen. But God takes seeds and makes plants. Which means what you put in the ground is not always what comes out of the ground. Is that making sense for anybody? You can put in money and miracles can come out of the money. You're not hearing the preacher right now. You can put in tithe, and your backslidden children being saved can be the result of your giving. Every seed you put in the ground doesn't make the same plant. You said, God, I'm not a millionaire yet, maybe not in money. But boy, you still got a house to go to. Boy, your bills are still being paid, even in a pandemic. I wish somebody would get excited about that. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to make it in the season. You're going to make it in the season. But you've got to learn to pour from the storm. I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Next 9 months, you hear me right now. The next 9 months, I don't know what I'm talking about right now. And we're friends. You can trust me. I'm crazy. I'm just going to obey the Holy Ghost. I dare you to write a letter to the mayor and to the politicians of the city and tell them how much you love this city and tell them that you have a plan to be the best growth plan and the beautification process of this city. And I believe that when the people of God can't give, that God will create a portal that people will start giving to this church and to build a program that's going to be a growing, that's going to be an elevation, and that bump. Come on, lift your hands if you believe that seasons are changing and harvest on the way. I want to preach to somebody right now. If you've been battling weariness, know that joy is on the way. And pour from the storehouse of prayers and say, God, do I have any prayers to pour from? God, do I have any strength to pour from? This last night of revival, you hear me right now. If there's anybody that's having trouble making it through this season, this cold, dark season of life, I just want to tell you there is a storehouse. Any prayer warriors know what I'm talking about. There is a storehouse. He said, Cornelius, I heard your prayers. They've come up before me as a memorial. There's some things that you've invested in God that you haven't got your return on your investment yet. But I just come to tell you, seasons are changing. I know your children ain't come back to church yet, but I just come to tell you that the night's about to turn to day. I've come to tell you that weeping may endure for a night, but I see the sun coming over the horizon. The seasons are. I want you to flood this altar right now and lift up your hands and say, God, I want you to pour out an increase. I need my tears to dry up. I need my darkness to turn to night today. I need the weeping to turn to joy. I want you to lift up your hands in this house and say, God, I want to be a part of this season. I want to be a part of this season. I want to pull down from the storehouse. Come on, pull some joy down. Come on, something's changing. I don't care if you don't believe it. You can't stop a miracle. You can't stop the sun from shining. You can't stop the season from changing.
It's a new season.
Come on, open up your hands and say, God, in the famine, we're going to live. God, in the drought, we're going to grow. Are spinning out of control, but it's not out of control. It's in God's hands. Trust God. Trust God. His word shall come to pass. Come on, squeeze in tight. Come on, we're not going to die in Egypt. There's food in the land. There's plenty in the land. Flowing and slowing and slowing. Come on, thank God for the sun. Come on, thank God for the rain right now. Come on, you ought to thank God for your troubles. Your troubles make you strong. Your darkness makes the night.